you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Welcome to the Twilight Histories, audio fiction that casts you as the hero. You are about to pass into an alternate universe. It may be strange, fascinating, and perhaps terrifying. To survive, you can't just be a tourist. You must become the people you explore. This is your adventure. Get ready, because today you're going to hear a new story by Josh Hutchins. And I won't lie, he's backed by popular demand. Josh has some huge fans out there, and sometimes they even direct message me with protests that I haven't had him back in a while. So today you're going to hear Josh Hutchins, and I think it's great to hear his voice again. He's got some real grit in his words that I don't have, and I appreciate that heavy metal, Conan the Barbarian edge that he brings to this podcast. We had a really great review in Apple by a listener, and I want to read it in full because this is the kind of listener who Josh attracts. And he references here Josh's Romano-Saxon War, which is by far the Twilight History's biggest show. This is from Stanbanga from the US, and if this resonates with you, let me know. Here it goes. And I apologize because this is a bit long, but I really want to read this to you in full. I survive on audiobooks and podcasts. As a history nerd, this one caught my interest. I was apprehensive but curious at first, but once I started, I literally could not stop listening. The Romano-Saxon War series is by far my favorite for a few reasons. It's long, I love British history, even if it's fiction, and the series was just incredibly well written and produced. As for the rest of the show, it is by far the most interesting and creative podcast I've ever listened to. Podcasts like History on Fire and Martyr Maid, and Hardcore History, and one of my favorites, the Pirate History Podcast, are all absolutely incredible. But the Twilight Histories throws a wrench into the spokes, and the result is this crazy world, or worlds as it were, of bits of history that you know, but with really fascinating fictional twists. Plus, with the way they write it, it's almost like you were there, experiencing it for yourself, living the life of someone in that time and world. That, right there, is huge for me. It draws me into the story. It's engaging, and I love it. And I really love how they have multiple writers writing for this show. Jordan Harbour is an incredible writer and narrator. But part of the fun of the show is the slightly different styles you get with each new writer. And not just in the writing, but in the narrating as well. It makes for a slightly different experience in every episode you listen to, even if the basic premise is the same. And I really love how Jordan Harbour involves the contributing listeners. They can literally help create the show. This might be the first podcast I actually give money to, because it's just that good. I'm not one to write a book in a review. However, this podcast absolutely deserves it. The amount of time, effort, and research that go into each episode is incredible. I highly recommend this podcast. You will not be disappointed. 5 out of 5 for sure. Can't wait for more episodes to come out. Wow, what an incredible review. Thank you, Stanbanga, whoever you are. If only we could get more reviews like that. The reason I quoted this today was actually because of what he said at the beginning of the review, that his favorite show of ours was Romano-Saxon War. That's Josh Hutchins, and that's who you're going to hear today. Josh has written this story from the male perspective. I know about a quarter of you listening are not male, and we really do value you. A large proportion of our paying patrons, for instance, are women. So If you don't identify as a man, I ask your forgiveness. Josh hasn't done a show for us in a while, and I've asked him to make future shows gender neutral so that no matter who you are, you can feel comfortable fitting in the skin of the lead characters in these stories. I know this has been a long ramble, so let's just dive in. This is Foster the Past by Josh Hutchins.
Hello. It's good to have you back. We apologize for the technical issues with your last split. You were supposed to spend no more than a year in Britannia. Our experts can't explain what happened. It's almost as if your chip were unplugged for several years. I've read your report. It's fascinating. You started as a blacksmith, then were forced to fight in the army, imprisoned, escaped, and became a warlord in your own right. Amazing, really. I know these long splits can be hard on the body and the soul. Your world split today is something a little different. It's no secret that we have several wealthy donors to the Twilight Histories Project. Some of them live near here in Switzerland. One such donor is a married couple with a single child. They recently died in a terrible sky-skiing accident in the Alps. Their daughter, Lilith, is only 8 years old. Her parents placed their assets in a trust, and now she's the beneficiary of fabulous wealth. But she has no other family to raise her. I won't pretend to know why this is, but the Twilight Histories was named as the trustee until Lilith is old enough to live on her own. That's where you come in. No, don't worry. We're not expecting you to be her foster parent or anything. Her parents' wish was that we find an alternate world with good people to raise her. With family, if possible. We researched her ancestry and learned that her relatives at one time were centered around a small community in the former United States. In the early 21st century, a coronal ejection of the sun created an electromagnetic pulse on Earth, wiping out all electronics. This Earth is still rebuilding from those ashes. That's your mission today. Keep Lilith safe, and find someone to keep her. Family, if at all possible. But most importantly, they should be good people. So, stay out of trouble until we bring you back. We'll try to keep this split short. Lilith, this nice man will take you back to your parents or some family. Stay close to him, okay? Now, that's all. Both of you step onto the platform. You may feel a little dizzy, kiddo, but that will go away quickly. Good luck. Mister? You shake the drowsiness from your head. Someone is pulling on your arm. At least the smell of ozone is gone. Yes, I'm okay. I'm fine. I just need a minute to catch my breath and find my bearings. What's happened? You look down at the girl. Short brown hair. There's a strong line between her eyebrows. It's okay, kid. You raise your hand to your own brow to shield from the sun. You stand and stretch. How long have you been awake? You ask.
I don't know, she replies.
Looking around, you see a large red wooden barn in front of a maze of metal fencing. You point towards it. It looks like we're on a farm. Maybe there's a house on the other side of that barn. You start to walk, and Lilith follows. The grass is nearly to your waist, fresh green mixed with dead yellow and brown. Several limbs of trees are broken and bending to the ground. Yuck, what's that smell?
You raise your nose to the air. It's something dead, I think. You turn to look at her. Stay right next to me, got it? She nods slowly. The metal grate creaks loudly as you swing it open and walk into the yard around a faded white farmhouse. Flies swirl all around both of you as you approach. Whatever we smell, I think it's inside there. You point. The porch is collapsed and rotten, with a grayish corrugated sheet metal hanging down loosely.
Is that a car?
You turn to see Lilith pointing at a blue car parked on the gravel road in front of the house. You grab her hand and walk towards it. Yeah, it's a car. But it has flat tires, you say in a monotone voice. You let go of her hand and turn to look back at the house. I don't think we should go in that house. I don't think anyone's been here for a long time. Anything edible has probably gone bad.
What about a gun? It's a farm. Surely they have a gun.
He looked down at her with one eyebrow raised. Good thinking, kid. You take a deep breath. Stay here. You slowly approach the front of the house, careful in case the porch collapses. You open the screen door and reach for the door handle. It turns and the door swings smoothly open, banging softly on something behind it. Glancing back, you see Lilith smiling at you. The odor is horrible. You enter the living room, having no TV. Through an archway, you see the kitchen with some dishes and boxes on the counter. The fridge doors are open, and there looks to be rotten food spilled under the tile floor. You turn and open a door next to the front door. Must be the coat closet, you mumble to yourself. After a few moments searching, you close the door. Nothing useful. Let's try the bedroom. Here, you carry this, you say to Lilith. I know it's a little big for you, but it's Gucci, so, you know.
What's a Gucci? She frowns. It used to be a famous designer's name. Here, put this in it. You stuff a few items of non-perishable food into the red leather purse, along with some hand tools, hammer, hacksaw, pliers.
You'd search through a mountain of once useful power tools in the barn and shop building to find precious few hand tools, which would still be of any help.
Do you know how to use a gun? You ask her.
She shrugs. Okay. I'll carry them both.
You stuff a .45 into the back of your pants, with a handle riding above your nylon belt.
Lilith gives you a curious look.
Why don't they let you bring your own stuff, huh?
Kid, I'm starting to ask myself that same question, you say, as you sling a large, reusable shopping bag from some long-forgotten grocery store over your head and shoulder. Lilith pulls at the bag to peer inside.
Do you really think we'll need that many bullets?
I don't know what we'll run into while we're looking for your family. You slide a flat-blade screwdriver into a pocket and shoulder a 20-gauge shotgun. You know how to read yet? You ask, opening a small box you'd taken from the house.
Pretty much. Mr. Dombas says I'm the best in my class.
She beams at you.
What class is that?
She holds up two fingers.
Second grade.
She slowly lowers her hand and looks at the ground.
I'm never going to see my friends again, am I?
You kneel and reach out and grasp her shoulder, shaking her gently. Lilith, all my friends are dead. At least you know your friends are alive on another world. Besides, you stand. You'll make new friends. Nodding at the road, you say, let's follow this dirt road and see where it takes us. She wipes her eyes.
Why does it matter if I can read?
Oh yeah, you say, handing her a magazine. You can read this while we walk. The gravel crunches under your shoes as you both start down a narrow lane with gnarly green trees growing up and arching over the top of you. The forest on either side of the road is thick with underbrush. Are you going to read that magazine or just look at the pictures?
It's hard to read while I'm walking.
You hold out a hand, and she gives it back to you. You roll it up and stuff it into your shopping bag. After walking more than an hour, you reach an asphalt road. Lilith interrupts your thoughts.
What are those for?
You turn to see her pointing at the painted lines on the pavement. People used to drive their cars themselves.
Like at the races?
You chuckle. Sometimes, but those lines are so they know when they can pass another car. Not all roads are embedded with power and locators like they are where we're from. You look up and down the road. One leads to rolling green hills. The other leads to rolling green hills. You sigh. Let's take a break under that tree over there. You wade through a few tall tufts of grass and stop near a large tree. Lilith takes a water bottle out of your bag and drinks. You can read that magazine now. She shakes her head.
You read it.
Fine, you say, taking the rolled magazine out of your bag. You lean the shotgun against the tree and lay the pistol on your thigh as you sit with your back to the trunk. The Economist, you say aloud, looking at the cover. It's from October 2022. That's about the time of the great coronavirus.
Wow, that's old. Are you that old?
You frown at her. Just listen, will you? You turn a few pages and take a breath. The war in the Ukraine finally at an end. This should be interesting, don't you think? You raise an eyebrow at her. According to our sources, Ukrainian troops have ceased their pursuit of Russian forces, who are now in full retreat. This comes after a wave of not one, not two, but three successive new governments have tried to form in Moscow after the death of Vladimir Putin. The Ukrainians have weathered this storm far better. Upon the Ukrainian parliament appointing Yulia Tymoshenko as the interim prime minister, Ukrainian strength seemed to rally, bolstered with support from nearly 30,000 volunteer fighters from around the world. Nearly 5,000 from the United States and another 1,000 from the UK. The Ukrainians pushed the Russians back on all fronts. You take a drink and look around. It's very quiet. You shake the magazine and search for where you left off. Investigators are still sifting through the rubble after the bombing in Alma-Ata in July, which killed Russian President Putin, Ukrainian President Zelensky, and Ukrainian Prime Minister Shmyhal, along with 44 others, including government officials from Kazakhstan, China, the United States, the UK, Germany, Hungary, and Turkey. The blast, while injuring dozens more from many other countries, perhaps did its most damage to Russian morale and the strategic goals of Vladimir Putin. Without his influence, you snap your head up, looking down the road.
Did you hear that? You ask.
She squints and holds her ear to the air.
It sounds like thunder.
No, it's a car. Or a truck. Something.
But they don't make noise like that.
You stand, rolling the magazine and stuffing it in your bag and tucking the pistol back in your waistband. They used to, kid. They used to be really loud. Not the quiet purr of the cars you're familiar with. You gesture with a shotgun. Hide behind this tree. I want to look at them before they see us. The rumble grows slowly but steadily louder. A minute later, you see a grayish tan form crest the hill down the road.
Looks like they figured out how to make vehicles run again.
You chamber a shotgun shell into the 20 gauge
and kneel in the shadows and underbrush behind the oak tree you'd been using as a backrest. The boxy vehicle approaches. It's an older four-door pickup with several barrels standing upright in the bed. Lilith stands and runs out in front of the tree, wildly waving her arms. She's gone before you can stop her. Blast, you hiss. There's an indistinct shout from the truck, and it slows to a stop, and three people jump out. They each carry a rifle. The person in front has a neatly kept beard and mustache. He's wearing jeans and a t-shirt and has a green hat. Stop, he repeats. Lilith stops waving her arms and seems to tense. You step out from behind the tree, holding the shotgun at your side. The man in front comes to a sudden stop, and he holds out a calming hand to the other two with him. Are there only two of you? The man asks. Lilith turns to look at you. You say nothing. It's okay. We won't hurt you. You're safe, he says. My name is Jamie, another says, as she hands her rifle to the person next to her and approaches. She also wears jeans, but has a long-sleeved sweatshirt. Whatever you do, don't move, the man says, his voice tinged with fear. You furrow your brow and raise the shotgun to your shoulder. You shout back, how can we believe you won't hurt us when you tell us we can't move? Because you're standing in a minefield, the man shouts in reply. It's okay. I know where the mines are, Jamie says, holding her arms out to take the hands of Lilith. She kneels in front and looks her over. My name is Lilith, she squeaks. I'm scared. Follow me. You'll be okay. She turns to you. Step exactly where I step. Got it? You nod. You start to move your right foot, but it seems stuck. Your vision begins to close in. The world spins around you. Lilith looks at you over the shoulder of her rescuer and smiles. Thank you, she says.
That was Foster the Past by Josh Hutchins. I'm going to make a guess here. If you finished this story, my guess is you're probably a fan of the Twilight histories. And if you're a fan, there are a few things that might describe you. Let me just be bold here for a second and take a stab at it. This is my guess at what might be ticking inside your brain. Okay, so you're probably a fan of history. You probably have a great imagination, and you love a good story. You find reading or listening to fiction like Conan the Barbarian is just as enjoyable as a great history from Anthony Beaver or Barbara Tuchman. Maybe you're interested in science fiction. And because you have this great imagination and you're smart, there's probably a good chance you're a role player as well. So that may describe you. But my question is, do you know anyone else like that? Is there someone in your life, a friend or sibling perhaps, who this might also describe? If you can think of someone like this, here's my assignment for you today. Think of a Twilight Histories episode that would really connect with their interests and share it with them. Maybe you've got a home group for your role-playing or your board game nights. Send them a link to the Twilight Histories. Having a friend share in something like this is really a great way to connect. It's a touch point, a way to share your common interests. For myself, I have a friend who listens to Hardcore History, for instance, and whenever Dan Carlin puts out a new show, we always have a good chat about it, and I really look forward to those conversations. At the Twilight Histories, we put a lot of thought into these stories, and there are sometimes some deeper themes that might weave their way into them and leave you puzzling for a while. It's always fun to chat about those types of things with your friends rather than just keep it all in your head. So please, have a think about it. You probably already have a friend in mind, or perhaps your home group, and you probably know exactly which Twilight Histories episode you think would be a great way to break them in. If I could ask you, please share that episode with them. And go ahead and do that before you forget, like as soon as you turn off this episode. Okay, with that, I'll leave you for now. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thank you so much for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.